I was reading a little article the other day from a man named Jonathan Kahn. He's a born-again Jew and believes Jesus is Messiah. And I've actually subscribed to his little newsletter for years now. But I was looking at something, and it kind of caught my attention. And I want to read this to you. And he said this: "What is Christmas but the birth of a Jewish baby to a Jewish mother in a Jewish city, greeted by Jewish shepherds, hailed as the Jewish king, foretold by the Jewish prophets to fulfill the Jewish hope of the Jewish yearnings for the Jewish redemption, the Jewish Messiah?" How many know that our faith is really a Jewish faith at its root? Jesus Christ was born, right, of the tribe of Judah. He was born as Jewish kindred. And therefore, we in Christ Jesus, through the new birth, are adopted in, right, to the family. We have been grafted in. A branch that was contrary was grafted in to the vine. Amen? The natural branches were broken off so we could be grafted in. That's what it says in Romans 11. The natural branches being natural Israel. However, the time is coming and it's already beginning that God is beginning to awaken His people. There was blindness in part upon the Jewish people for the sake of the Gentiles. That's you and I, the non-Jewish people, to believe in Messiah. And in some cases, it's actually provoking the Jews to jealousy as they see that we are actually receiving the blessings and the benefits of Abraham. Amen. And they were the ones that had first received the covenants and the promises. And so things are beginning to shift, folks. And I want you to understand something, that there is a time when you have an opportunity to get your heart right with God. That time is not going to be forever. Today is the acceptable day. Today is the day of salvation. If God is calling you, you need to listen. You need to respond today. Because there will be those who will try to enter in and will not be able to because they did not respond in the time of God's visitation. The Spirit of God is being poured out today on all flesh. This is a time of God's visitation. It is a time of God's grace, of God's favor. Today is the day where we can say yes to Messiah and be born again to be saved. Even as we see in type the ark, as Noah and his family were brought aboard, the Lord Himself sealed the door. The ark is typifying Christ as the Savior from the judgment to come. The first judgment by water, the second judgment by fire. Today we've been given an opportunity to get on the ark. Amen. To come to Jesus, to get our hearts right with God. Because there's coming a day when the door will be shut. The time of the Gentiles will be fulfilled and God's going to turn to His ancient people and they shall see that He is the true Messiah. And He is a Jewish Messiah. And we've been privileged to have the opportunity to choose Christ and be saved. Hallelujah. I entitled today's message, even though it's 1 week before Christmas, it has very much to do with Christmas. And it's called One Way, Jesus. One Way, Jesus. How many know there are not many ways? There are many ways that the world chooses, but Jesus says wide is the road that leads to destruction. And many go in that way. Because narrow or confined is the way that leads to life, there will be few who find it. The world says, well, you are narrow-minded, intolerant bigots. Well, Jesus said that narrow is the way that leads to life. He says, I am the door, and by me, if any man enters in, he shall be saved. Why? Because He is the eternal God. Amen? The Word that became flesh. Incarnation. Christmas is about the incarnation of the eternal God who took upon himself the form of a servant, who became a man like you and I, to redeem Adam's fallen race. Because Adam, the first man, had sinned. Sin fell upon all. Amen. Came upon all humanity. So Jesus, being the last Adam, took that place. Amen. And lived to fulfill all righteousness. He was without sin. So he became the spotless Lamb of God that would be offered up for our redemption on the cross.
Glory.
Hallelujah. And so only Jesus is the way to life. For there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby you must be saved. It's not by power or might, it's by the Spirit of the Lord. And the word of the Lord today is that there is one way, and that is through Christ Jesus. Amen. He is the intermediator between God and man. There is a man and a God. Hallelujah. A God-man in heaven as our high priest. And it's through him that we can come in. Hallelujah. He said, all those who came before me were thieves and robbers. They were counterfeits. And those who come after him claiming that they have a way to heaven are a liar. They're a lying spirit. Because the Bible says in 1 John 4 that we are to test the spirits whether they be of God or not. And every spirit that does not confess Jesus as coming in the flesh, Jesus Christ as coming in the flesh, is not of God. But is of Antichrist. And the spirit of Antichrist is rampant today. There is a mentality and a thought right now that is very heavily influenced by Satan himself, that all roads lead to God. You simply choose your own path to God. That is the lie from the very beginning. Because in that, you are being your own Savior. You are being your own Redeemer. And Jesus said, if any man will save his life, he will lose his life.
Amen.
But if you lose your life for my sake in the gospel, you'll find it. And so the incarnation was that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. That the Word who was in the beginning with the Father, amen, who in the beginning was God, hallelujah, took upon himself the form of a servant. He became like you and I so that he could redeem you and I back into right relationship with the Father. I think that's an awesome salvation. That's an awesome plan. Hallelujah. And I don't know about you, but I am glad that I got on the ark. I am glad that I said yes. I'm glad that I surrendered my life. Now, folks, we know this, but I need to warn you again that whenever you say the name of Jesus Christ, there's going to be contention. You can talk about Buddha, Allah, all the others. Oh, there's no problem talking about these things, right? And these others. But when you start to talk about Jesus, when you start mentioning the name of Jesus, isn't it interesting how people, you can be having a conversation with somebody and things are going quite well, and all of a sudden you drop the name of Jesus and everything shifts. Now, you could talk about Buddha till you're blue in the face and they wouldn't have a problem with that. But as soon as you mention the name Jesus, now something happens. Why? Because the demons are on alert. Jesus. That is that name. Amen? Above all names. And you see, even the very reaction that you see when you speak that name demonstrates to the authority that that name holds. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 10, verse 34, I want you to hear this. Do not think that I came to bring peace on earth. Peace on earth, goodwill. It's all hold hands and. How many know there hasn't been any peace on the earth except the peace that God gives? I don't care what the politicians try to do, they're not going to achieve real, lasting peace. Matthew 10:34. Real peace is Jesus. Real peace is experienced through Him and Him alone. Amen? There's no other way to salvation. Now, when you say this, folks, you're going to get a reaction that's usually going to be negative, especially if people have a broad way of thinking. Are you with me? We have to expect that. Jesus said, if they hated me, they'll hate you also. If you live for me, you know, there's going to be problems. People are not all going, you're not going to be the most popular guy on the block. I don't know about you, but I'd rather be popular with God. I want to be tight with Jesus. I want to know that Jesus is saying, hey, good job. I got something ready for you. Wait till you get home. Jesus said in verse 35, for I have come to set a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and a man's foes will be those of his own household. Has anybody experienced that beside myself? I'm not talking about Jesus, by the way, or Judy. But there will be, in your extended family, hello, there's going to be some friction. Maybe in your immediate family. However, don't give up. Keep praying. Keep believing. Because God knows how to get a hold of people. Your prayers are important. They are powerful in God. Our weapons are not of human nature, of human origin, right? But they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds that are over people's lives. We have authority in Jesus' name to take authority over demons that are blinding people and bind them and casting them out. Start doing that over your loved one. Don't let them know about it. Just anoint their pillow when they lay their head down at night and pray over them while they're sleeping. What is he saying? Jesus didn't say, I came here to just cause trouble. What he was saying is that when you speak truth in a world that is under the sway of deception and lies, it's going to cause problems. Truth is light. If you're living in darkness, if you've ever been in a dark room at night, maybe you're trying to get some sleep. Oh, it sure is good sleeping. And somebody comes in and hits the light. Plow! Man, that light just kind of blinds you, right? It's like, whoa, turn it off. And sometimes that's what the reaction is people, when you show up and you come into the room even without even saying anything, if you're walking in the Spirit, it's they're going to say, turn it off, man. Whoa, too much. I mean, that was me. I didn't like to be around them Christian people, you know. Them. I'm not talking about church folks. I'm talking about Christians. There's a difference. I'm not talking about the religious. I'm talking about people that really love God, that walk with Jesus. And when they come around, man, they made me uncomfortable. And you know what? I was such a fake because I'd even start acting like a nice guy. When they come around, you know. There's a lot of people that act nice but aren't nice. And you'll find out how nice they are when you step on their toe. We're supposed to love our enemies. We can only do that by the grace of God, right? Not by our own willpower. And so there's going to be division because of the name, because of the testimony of Jesus. And folks, the real peace that God comes to give really means to men of goodwill. That means people that have a heart for God. Would you agree? It's people who have a heart for God, who are open and receptive to truth. To them, they will receive the revelation, the great light is shown unto them. And they have found truth to be good for their soul. I don't always necessarily appreciate truth, you know. Anybody beside myself ever been uncomfortable with the truth?
It hurts sometimes.
Yeah. But, you know, we've heard that said, right? The truth hurts, but the truth is so good for us. And because we are followers of Jesus, we are lovers of the truth. Because He is the truth. And so there's going to be division. It's not this universal mentality of everybody at peace. Because, folks, you're not going to be able to visualize world peace. I'm sorry. While you're sitting in the lotus position, you know, your enemies are going to be stomping you into the ground. Come on. If our nation had that kind of mentality as a whole, guess what? We'd be speaking Chinese or Russian today. We are in a battle in the spirit realm. And it is a battle between good and evil, true and false. Amen? And so we cannot be passive as followers of Jesus, but we are to walk in love. And you know, isn't it interesting that even when we love people, sometimes it's not well received. Sometimes they think, oh, what's the catch here? What are you up to? But when we love people, you know, Paul made it, I don't remember where he said this, but he made an interesting comment. He said, you know, the more that I love, the less that I'm loved. Because he had to be true, you know, to God and to his people. He had to love the people enough to be truthful with them and to tell them, this is the way it is. I'm sorry, I cannot compromise the truth, because it's only the truth that'll set you free. It's only the truth. Do not be wise in your own understanding. Don't ever think you've got a better idea. If God said it, it's good. It works. Jude verse 3 says this, "Beloved, while I was very diligent to write to you concerning our common salvation, I found it necessary to write to you to contend earnestly for the faith which was once and for all delivered to the saints." Acts 4:12, "Nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved." Today's text, I want you to turn to 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. This is a creed. A creed is a statement of faith, of what we believe. And they would give creeds so that people could repeat something back and memorize a certain teaching within a certain context that would help them understand what they believe. The problem we have today is, even in the church, there's a lot of Christians that don't know what they believe. If we don't know what we believe, then we will fall for lies. And without controversy, this is it. 1 Timothy 3:16. "Great is the mystery of godliness." Here it is. "God was manifested in the flesh." This presents a problem for many groups out there, would you agree? And cults. As a matter of fact, this is what distinguishes Christianity from every other religion or cult, is that God became a man. God was manifested in the flesh. It didn't say a God, it says God was manifested in the flesh. Justified in the Spirit, seen by angels, preached among the Gentiles, believed on in the world, and received up in glory. The first one there was the incarnation. God was manifested in the flesh. Again, this is about Christmas. What we are celebrating is the birth, amen, of our Savior. When God became a man, John 1:14 says, "The Word became flesh and dwelt among us." 1 John chapter 4, verse 2 says, "Every spirit that confesses Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God." Now, Jesus himself claimed to be deity. He claimed to be God. John 8, verse 48 through 59, if you read that sometime. In that he said, "Before Abraham was, I am." They understood what he was saying, folks, at that time. He's saying, you being a man claim to be God. How can he who was born a little over 2,000 years ago in a manger claim to be before Abraham? Before Abraham was, I am. He is. The second person of the Trinity. Amen? The I am. And so, John 10:30, he says, "I and my Father are one." They understood what he was saying. For him to say he's one with his Father is saying that you are God. You claim to be God. John 14:6, most of us know this one. I am. We can just hold it up right there. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Remember when God appeared to Moses in the burning bush and he asked him, Lord, who do I say sent me? He says, tell him, I am. That I am sent you. Do you see the connection, folks? Jesus was not just a good man. He was a good man. He was not just a prophet. He was a prophet. He was not just a rabbi or a priest. He was more than that. He was God in the form of a man. And no man could do the miracles, as some of them are beginning to realize, that he was doing unless God was with him. And he says, the Father who is in me is doing the miracles, is doing the work. Jesus, in his humanity, he wasn't there to represent himself. In his human part, he was a servant. His body was a servant. Remember, we talked about that before. You're not to be a servant to your body, but your body's to be your servant. Because when you let your body be, you know, when you start serving your body, boy, you're in trouble. Okay. How many have served your body before only to be disappointed? Now, we all serve our body to some degree. I'm talking about, we got to feed ourselves, right? But you know what I'm talking about, indulging the sin nature. So Jesus claimed by the words that he spoke, by the things that he did, that he was God indeed. And that's one of the reasons why they decided we're going to have to get rid of this guy, because he's a blasphemer. He claims to be God. And under the law, of course, that would mean, you know, death. And yet he truly was God. Isn't it interesting again that they were the same one that they were talking about, preaching about, you're looking forward to seeing someday, finally shows up and they don't even recognize when he shows up. Do you know that's what religion does to people? It's like it blinds people. Our traditions sometimes blind us from what God is doing. Why? Because we get into these ruts, into these routines, and just the way that we always do things. Why do we do it that way? Well, it's just our tradition here. Well, why do you do it that way? I don't know. It's just the way we always do it. Well, what is God doing? I don't know. How many would agree it's important to know what God is doing? And to do what he's doing. It's a relationship, isn't it? We're not in here punching a clock in church, right? Doing our religious obligation and our duty. You know, scoring points with the man upstairs. We're here to learn, to grow, to fellowship, to worship corporately. We're here to come together as his body, amen? So that we may discover the fullness of Christ through the people of God. Amen? And by the revelation that God gives. It's really an identity thing. Who am I? Who are we? The problem we have is we don't know who we are. And so we try this and we try that, and we run after this and we run after that, trying to discover who we are. I know I'm the only one that's ever done that, but... What does it mean that Jesus was justified in the Spirit? It means he was proven. He fulfilled all that had been written about him. That which was written up to that point, Jesus had come to fulfill the requirements of being the sacrificial lamb. He has not yet come as reigning king to rule on the earth, but up to that point, he had fulfilled all righteousness. All that was spoken of him as the suffering servant. And so he proved to be all that he claimed. First of all, by his virgin birth. And let me emphasize virgin birth here. Amen? The Bible's very clear about that. That he had a sinless life and then death on the cross and his resurrection. He proved to be who he was at his baptism In Matthew 3:16, remember the voice from the Father validating him. This dove coming, the Holy Spirit coming upon him. As the Father said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased." He proved to be who he was by the authority he had over demons. In Matthew 12 and verse 28, he says, "If I by the finger of God cast out demons, no doubt the kingdom has come to you." Amen. The King of the kingdom was on the scene and he was messing up the devil. And when he went to heaven, he has given you and I the authority and the commission to go in his name. Amen?
Amen.
And do the same. He was, by his words, he proved to who he was. He was the baptizer with the Holy Spirit, Acts 2:33. It says that he was seen of angels. Now we know the angels were witnessing his every move at his birth, Luke 2:9. At his temptation, Mark 1:13. At Gethsemane, he said, "At any time I could call on 12 legions of angels." At his resurrection, they bore witness. He was justified. He was seen of angels. Matthew 28:2. And then his ascension in Acts 1:10 speaks of him ascending back to the Father. Hallelujah. Now, if you would turn in your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 9. Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 2. This is prophetic, speaking of the coming of Jesus. It says, "The people who walked in darkness," who would that be? That means the world, really. Anybody Israel? "Have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in the land of the shadow of death, upon them a light has shined." And look at verse 6. "For unto us a child is born." Here's other proof of his deity. "Unto us a son is given. And the government will be upon his shoulder." He's going to rule and reign over all the earth, folks. The day is coming. "And his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God. Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end." Hallelujah. It says he was preached unto the Gentiles. That means that the gospel has been proclaimed to all the nations. In Acts 2:5, on the day of Pentecost, it says that there was devout men, in verse 5, out of every nation under heaven. Why? It was very strategic. It came at a strategic point where the world was under government of Rome, under Roman rule. So they would be together for this moment of the outpouring of God's Spirit. So this, amen, outpouring, this impartation from heaven would be taken from there, amen, and they would proclaim the gospel into the nations. Do you know, it's interesting, if you look back in history, even in China and in Russia and in places that are so dried up and dead, well, China's certainly coming alive, and we know Russia's soon to follow. But you see, if you look back in history, and even in North Korea, that the gospel has been in these places, folks. That there was times of revival in these nations. And you know what we're seeing is a shift. We're seeing America becoming more and more godless. And an awakening happening and occurring in other places of the world. Folks, we need to get ready. I believe the coming of the Lord is near. Nearer than we first believed, and we need to get ready. He was preached unto the Gentiles, non-Jewish peoples, and then believed on in the world. Our responsibility is to respond to the truth of God, the Word of God. We've got to choose Him. We know John 3:16 so well, "Whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." John 1:12, "But as many as received Him, to them He gave the power, the authority to become sons of God." Romans 10:10, "For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made to salvation." How many confess Jesus? How many would agree that's important to confess Jesus? With the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And then it says finally in this creed, that he was received up into glory. Luke 24:50, and he led them out as far as Bethany, and he lifted up his hands and he blessed them. And now it came to pass while he blessed them that he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. And they worshiped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. Acts 1:11, men of Galilee, the angel said, why do you stand gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will so come in like manner as you saw him go into heaven. The baby Jesus is no longer a baby. We celebrate his birth, but to a lot of people it's just a cute story of a little baby in a manger. How many know that Jesus has grown up? How many know that he is King of Kings and Lord of Lords? He's ascended to heaven and he's coming again. Get ready. All these things that were spoken, all these things that have been prophesied by the prophets of old are going to come to pass. Many have already been fulfilled. But the next thing I believe we're going to see is the catching away, the rapture of the church. I believe, for God has not appointed us to suffer his wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. And Jesus says, it was in the days of Noah, so it will also be in the coming of the Son of Man. They were eating and drinking, marrying, giving in marriage. They were just life as usual, party hardy. And they did not know until the day that God took them away. Amen? And that's the time when they went into the ark and then God took them away. It's time, you see, that God has provided an escape. Watch and pray always that you be counted worthy to escape all these things that are coming upon the earth and to stand before the Son of Man. God has provided an escape.